And so we begin our broadcast.
The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, good time of the day to everyone. We welcome you to the 2012 Initiative Sagittarius Full Moon webinar. Today we have a special guest, Seed Group International founder, co-founder Davina Cox. And before we go to the meeting, I want to say a few words about our initiative. First of all, my name is Alexander Ilchuk, and I represent the Focalizing Group of 2012 Initiative, which has been started back in May this year as preparation for the Festival Week of World Servers, which are going to happen December 21st through December 28th this year. And this is an event that happens every 7 years, according to Tibetan Master Jewalkul, who says that this is an event that happens every 7 years, and with the beginning of the Aquarian Age, groups will be able to work with the extra zodiacal force, the extra zodiacal constellation, which is to our zodiac, is what is zodiac for our Earth. So this very powerful alignment allows groups work with the energy of purpose, the energy of will. And that's what all groups are expected to do and asked to do during this special time. So in 2012 initiative is geared towards creating the meditative rhythm, intergroup meditative rhythm, inter preparation for the festival week. And every month we have two meetings a month, full moon and new moon. And I welcome everyone this special day of the Sagittarius full moon. And now I'm honored to give a floor to two representatives of the Seed Group International, Belinda Baird from New Zealand and Davina Cox from California. Belinda is another representative of the Focalizing Group 2012 Initiative Group. So, Belinda, I welcome you and give the floor to you.
Thank you, Alexander. We're going to just begin with a few moments of silence. Linked together with each other through the heart center. Linked together as one soul. We link together with all the world's servants, wherever they may be. we realize ourselves as part of the one life. May the power of the one life pour through the group of all true servants. May the love of the one soul characterize the lives of all who seek to aid the great ones. May we fulfill our part in the one work through self-forgetfulness, harmlessness, and right speech. Well, welcome, Davina, to this forum. It's wonderful to have you join us with this work. This morning, I'd like to ask you, first of all, what are the C Groups International's origins and purpose?
Well, let me just read you the statement of or would you like to read that, Belinda? The actual statement of purpose of C Groups International. I have it here in front of me, which says, Seed Groups International participants may choose to consciously invoke extraplanetary connections and build the pattern that links our planet with the great cosmic intelligences who influence our evolution. The challenge is to be in constant meditation, invoking with our whole being higher guidance, and fully trusting the divine process in every moment. SGI, or Seed Groups International, actually came into being about 12 years ago with Francis Moore, Christina Forbes, and myself, although that was part of a greater Seed Group work that was initiated by the Tibetan, and others had also had their own aspect that they had put out into the world, Sir John Sinclair, IPS in Geneva, the Wisdom Impressions Group, and many others each had their pathway. But SGI is somewhat different, I feel anyway, because we literally have no leader, we have no specific teaching. So we have no central core around which there is a rallying call. The thing that brings us together, literally, is a note that the soul sounds to perhaps be a part of this work. Because in SGI, we have people from many lineages. We have Tibetan Buddhists, Zen Buddhists, people from the Theosophical Society, the Alice Bailey teachings, Christian mystics, science, particularly the science field. And all of these different lineages have their own verbiage, have their own way of expressing. So the challenge for us in Seed Groups International is to be there just as a group and transcending verbiage that comes with different streams of teaching, so that we begin to connect and reach each other at a deeper level beyond the constructs of the mind, where we can transcend those sort of conceptual thinking which keeps us in a way of feeling separate from. Because the minute we have a specific teaching that we are so attached to, it can very often create a box, which that box then has to be defended because it's our way of perceiving, our way of viewing, which then, of course, brings in a sense of separation. And so consequently, for the C group challenge, as perhaps some of us see it, is to transcend all that and to link at a pure level, or endeavor to link at a pure level of experiential oneness.
That depends upon a huge amount of creativity to find a whole new common language. And I think it's beautifully epitomized in the logos that we can see in front of us, where we do have that point of synthesis at the center of the work. Go on.
No, sorry, that's exactly right. The synthesis is the core of it all. It has to be. It's the universal principle.
In a lot of the talks that we've had, we've talked about consciousness and how that relates to this inner creative work that we do. How does Seed Groups International relate to consciousness and utilize consciousness?
Well, I think basically we have to define what we mean by consciousness, because from my understanding of consciousness, it's that deep present which goes beyond the dualistic nature, which transcends the idea of a separate ego and identity, which is solely built on our memory patterns of something that gives us a sense of individualization as far as being a separate entity is concerned. So consequently, the aspect of any teaching is to help us transcend that dualistic nature. And so consequently, that's the endeavor for Seed Groups International, is to be able to, I'm not saying we do, but there is that endeavor as a group to move beyond the dualistic functioning of the conditioned mind and to work and embody and touch that essence, the pure essence, which is the backdrop of everything. So in our logo, when we say fully trusting the divine process in every moment, at that moment when one is connecting to that deeper aspect we call consciousness, which is the very beingness of which all substance is then formed. So we are hopefully allowing that pure life force to move through the vehicle into expression, which then manifests in the world through various endeavors and experiences. So those of us perhaps in this more type of subjective, quiet, behind the scene work are able to perhaps hold a field, or maybe, and many others are doing this as well, I'm not just saying it's us in those of us in C groups, but hold a field of consciousness where these, if one is beyond that dualistic nature, where the ideas very often that are associated with the mind and the sense of ego self are just a mishmash that keep repeating themselves. But beyond that is something where the pure creativity is touched, and those essences, those seeds, those new ways of building and doing are there pregnant, waiting to be born into our consciousness. So the idea behind Seed Groups International is to hold a field of energy where others may perhaps tap into it and then manifest ideas that may be held in the new sphere or thought sphere, to be able to then go through their vehicles and work within the consciousness of humanity. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. That's an interesting term to use, the new sphere, because that was a term that was used, I think, firstly by Taya de Chardin. And perhaps you would like to expand on that a wee bit and talk to us about the terminology that we perhaps have used in alongside that of the group egregory.
Well, the group egregore is an idea that when anything is manifested from the level of the soul, we're talking about livingness, we're talking about the life force, we're talking about the very purpose of life itself manifesting through the individuals. And so consequently, when that energy of awareness is there, it what activity comes out of that carries a certain resonance with it, which is never lost. It is always there, held in perpetuity for those to tap into. When any action is taken from a level of selfishness or the separative idea of an individual ego, then that energy field has a very shorter lifespan. It may have a lifespan, but it's only probably reaches through to the astral plane and the astral levels, and some the mental plane. But beyond that, the pure essence, because it's all part of the illusion. I mean, everything is an illusion. But when it carries that pure life force and energy with it, then it has the sustaining quality which can go on for millennia. It's something which, because it's beyond time. And so consequently, when one is able to move and touch the egregore, which is there with this potential of all ideas of those that may have been seed group people in some form or other, way, going way back. But it's there waiting, pregnant for us to keep using the word pregnant, but there for us to use and tap into all the time. So there's this wonderful lineage of help that's gone on before all of us, that's there to encourage and sustain and to move the work forward, not just for C groups, but other work. It's any work that has that pure essence of life force using the vehicle to manifest, then that carries a huge potential for perpetuity down through the ages.
It's an extraordinary thought and experience to think that what we can actually do is simply lift out of the environment wherever we happen to be any information or any knowledge that we might possibly need. It's very much like having an invisible library and being able to just literally stretch out and pull out a volume and read and know how to tap into that. That's often used, that analogy with the library at Alexandria that actually
Yes.
got burnt down. And although the books physically may well have been lost, in fact, the knowledge has always been preserved and still is preserved for us to tap into whenever we want to, or in fact, when we learn how to actually do this.
Absolutely. And so it's really very important. And when Alexander was talking a few moments ago about you talk about the new group of world servers, I think we need to really consider how we perceive a new group of world servers. Again, we have to make sure that we're not perceiving something that has a them and an us to it. Because anybody is serving who is using conscious awareness in the moment. That is the most tremendous service that anybody can give, is to be awake and aware. They may not be a part of a group.
That's correct, because I think it's important that we don't see ourselves as an exclusive body, either any of us individually in the groups that we belong to, or in fact, if we see ourselves as being part of the group of world service, there's always more people out there who, whether knowingly, consciously or not, are actually a part of our group and work alongside us.
They are, dear. And I, because I remember my teacher used to say to me that every action that's performed through a conditioned response really has a deadening energy to it. But any action that's performed through awareness has the light of the life force and the soul behind it. And it's like a light goes on in the collective unconscious when somebody is working with pure awareness. It's an illumination that's happening. And so many people are perhaps serving just by even preparing food if they're doing it consciously and with awareness. So,
Absolutely correct, yes.
yes.
And of course, this food, that term food, is something that can be appreciated on so many different levels and layers of meaning, because of course,
Absolutely.
food for the mind as well, isn't there? And indeed, food for the soul.
That's the thing, and I think. Sorry, dear, go on.
No, I was just going to say it. We often talk about being able to. We'll use the five. We work through very much through the five senses, and taste, of course, and appreciating good food is one. But actually, if we look through the different layers of meaning, that can go all the way up to being able to taste in a very deeply spiritual way the actual flavour of what spirit and the inner work actually means. And that applies to all the senses, that we have to learn how to work with the higher aspects of the senses as well that go way beyond the physical.
Absolutely, that's beautifully put, yes. And I think one of the challenges for all of us, and one of the opportunities which you were talking about, Alexandra, in the beginning, that the path for all of us is to more or less go into that essence of beingness, where that hidden grace, as we say, that we're never not connected to that. It's the backdrop of everything we are. It's the backdrop of everything we do. And so consequently, there are those planetary alignments possibly, and these periods of evolution where forces come together to help us try and break free of our pattern conditioning, so that we can begin to move beyond the limitations of the mind, because as we know, the mind can never understand itself. So we have to go to a higher point of resonance to move beyond this sense of separateness. And because the mind can become compulsive, it creates a false sense of itself. It creates a false sense of ego identity. So I think at this point in our planetary history, there's this help that's there to bring in these nuances and these energies, which will give us that push to be able to break through and to be aware of this melee of thought and structure, which we are embroiled in very often on this planet. So consequently, the situation is to bring in this other essence to contact and be a part of and fully aware of each moment, this backdrop and essence of who we basically are at our core, this presence, and allow this presence to then move through the vehicle. And in that presence, which is the no thing, because we realize the illusion of the self, the illusion of the I, then that will that Alexander was talking about, that greater will, which demands total surrender, is able to then manifest through the vehicle, bringing harmony, creativity, resonance, and balance back into this world of form. So that's the challenge for all of us, each and every one of us, as we move in to this greater potential that awaits us past 2012. It's a wonderful opportunity to breaking some of the boundaries and constructs and sense of separation that we've held on to for millennia, all of us, from the right through from the limbic brain on up. It's tremendous sense of being separate from, rather than totally knowing experientially that we are one with. So I think
is that what you would see as the responsibility of the group of world servers?
Absolutely.
Regarding the work of the spiritual will in terms of distributing the 2000 and, you know, the 2000 Shambhala impact?
Well, I think, again, one has to even have the challenge to move beyond labeling, because that's the mind coming into play again, because it likes judgments and definitions, and it blocks the deeper reality. So the moment you even start using labelings, you're then back in the duality. So the challenge for all of us is to be able to move beyond this and to completely, I mean, this is a whole new paradigm shift we're talking about. Because the mind tries to understand, the mind wants to control. And it isn't that the mind can't be a most wonderful tool, but it cannot be the master. So I think, again, when we even start using a lot of phrases and terminology and words and everything else, we really have to be ruthless and honest with ourselves as to, is this a game of the mind that it's another way of the mind keeping us engaged? Or are we able to totally, when we start talking about the will means that everything has to go from a separate idea or something, because we, in reality, we are no thing. We are no thing. And to reach that essence of no thing, every attachment has to be relinquished and released, even the attachment to the teachings. It doesn't mean to say that one doesn't value the teachings and they're still not important, but one has to look at the attachment to the teachings and the sense of ego identity that they may engender within the individual or security. So when we talk about the nature of will, we have to realize that the nature of will takes us into the space of no thing, which means that we are then everything. And that's the challenge for the next movement forward for all of us, each and every one of us, because we're struggling with this. But there's tremendous opportunity and there's a tremendous amount of help there and support for us if we will watch and be prepared to let go and think with a whole new dimension of our being.
So that brings us into a very free and formless space in which to work. And I'd just like to pick up on your comment that we need to let go of the teaching and indeed go beyond that. And I'd like you please to comment on the fact that as we look at the logos of the Seagroups International, we actually see here that there are 12 seed groups, and that goes with a 13th group in the middle of synthesis. And that actually goes beyond the teaching that was given by the Tibetan on seed groups, which actually only embraced 10 groups. Perhaps you would like to comment on that.
Yes, I will. And just to reiterate, it doesn't mean to say that one lets go the teachings. One lets go the attachment to the teachings as a source of reinforcement of ego identity. So one comes into a new resonance with the teaching from a different level of understanding. So we do have, the Tibetan talked about 10 C groups, but in SGI we added two more. We added the environment and the David Kingdom. We start with the telepathic communicators, which is teaching, it's a sense of group purpose, moving beyond, like I say, the separativeness of the mind to be able to connect telepathically and to have that gap within the mental vehicle that this other essence can pour in, and we can work in a whole different dimension and a different way. Then the trained observers bring in the light to clear the astral vehicles and clear the astral planes and to, raise the consciousness, which is bogged down in sort of darkness very often and misinformation and disinformation. Then we have the magnetic healers, which is, people that work with the conscious, they really work with the super conscious levels of the etheric. And so it's understanding that etheric nature through healing. And education, and the education really is all about teaching how one builds the antikarana, and we use that terminology in Bali, but using that bridge so as one is able to access that moment between thought. And then the political organizers, they really work with the will to good, human will to good. And the workers in the field of religion, their source of emphasis is a new spiritual approach tonight. I think, again, what we're talking about can transcend the box of being part of a specific, but is able to be experientially part of the whole. And then the scientific service, they obviously, their whole goal is to foreshadow or to help humanity understand its soul nature. So it's really learning about the science of the soul. And the psychologist, they really work through the realm of thought and ideas and illumination, and of course the economists. And I always think one of the greatest economists is nature. And so we work with the values and the exchange and inter-exchange of commerce. And the creators of the New Age, it's not just people who are out there creating, but the purpose is to link life and form creatively, to be co-creators with life and form. That's the very key aspect. And then the environment is there where we hope to focus on cleansing the atmosphere, the dense and subtle aspects of the atmosphere. And then the David Kingdom is to prepare humanity for awareness of this kingdom and its evolutionary change. So each month in our work, we focus on one of those specific groups, and then the wholeness, and each one of those is part of a synthesis. They are expressions of that synthetic core. So I hope that that was very quick, very quick sort of. But that's basically the matrix from which we work. That's the only form nature that we have in the group. We, one of the things I forgot to mention is that we have no outer form or structure. We have no board. We have no box that we put ourselves into as an organization. We just have a name, and we just have this logo that we work with. But other than that, we're somewhat formless.
Thank you for that. One of the things that attracted me to the work of C Groups International was its ability to stand freely alongside people in all these other areas of work and disciplines and with different teachings, and yet still be able to find a common point through which we could embrace the work together. And for me, this was a real opportunity to work as a spiritual environmentalist and also as a true international citizen. And I find that this work is incredibly embracive and all-encompassing. A sense of standing at a midway point between that horizontal axis of moving out across the planet to work for humanity and at the same time being aligned vertically with the spiritual dimensions and right down through into all the kingdoms of nature. So I think this whole approach is a true synthesis and really a holistic experiment, really, of how to actually do this work together.
Well, it's interesting because, yes.
Sorry, go on.
I just wanted to add that was because literally, as I say, we have no leader, we have no we have no specific teaching around which any of us. The group is the leader. This is, seems to me, an experiment in one of many, many experiments, but where the group is actually the leader because it's an organic process of listening where we listen to each other, and where there's a need, there's a movement that comes out of that. I mean, I may be speaking on behalf of all of us at this moment, but I'm just one of a team, I'm just one of a circle. And each member of that circle is as important as any other. There's no one that's more important than anybody else. There's no hierarchy.
That's right. But we should say too that share with everybody that we do have sharing, because although we meditate out of our own teaching and work with that, we do have our sharings that we are able to discuss with each other via our online forum. And
yes,
before the days of that, we had to do it by snail mail, but the ability to work online has transformed that ability to share ideas and thoughts more freely, and indeed help us to keep in touch too with what other groups are doing, just the way this particular forum that we're working on now, World Servers Festival Week, has enabled us all to contribute to.
I think, yeah, that's amazing. And for me, the challenge has been I'm always considered the Wilma Flintstone of the group because I'm not very non-techie. So consequently, I have people in the group that are wonderful, wonderfully patient, I think would be the word I would use with my somewhat inept ability to embrace the new technology. So that's my challenge. So, but lovely, beautifully put, dear. Thank you.
And do you feel, just before we open it up, the floor up to questions from everybody, do you feel that you've covered everything that you might be able to say about how our specific groups contributes to creativity and the new ideas that
Well,
are going to
again,
be required to the future?
I think again the essence of there are those of us that in incarnation that have different dharma, and I think some of us are perhaps used to being in and working in a more quiet, subjective way, and others are there in a more action-oriented way, and we each support each other. It doesn't mean to say within a group we support each other, but each group is part of that wonderful pattern of support, whether it's subjective or active. So I think really do I think the key work for C Groups International, and we have been told that its work may not even be for this moment, that it may not be used for 100, 200, 300 years into the future. It's holding a field of resonance. So that those that perhaps may need to, and it becomes that field becomes magnetic unto itself. So it's working with sort of the invocation, evocation. So I think holding that field of resonance is the greatest service that we can do. Holding, being in touch with that presence, that beingness, and that contains within it, if we're able to do that, all that is needed to move us all forward, and many groups, as I say, are doing this. It's not just SGI, but those that are interested in the subjective work are able to and can hold that field. That is perhaps their aspect of serving. It's not better, it's not worse than any other, it just is what it is. It's just the way that we've come into incarnation to work. And but I do think that magnetic field, to the degree that we can transcend the limitations of the individual eye, then that field becomes more magnetic.
Right, so it's more about a sense of this work being timeless as well as just in a very wide open space. Because I noticed that, and I don't think, I think you're correct, I think we do need to avoid getting tied into labels. Because when I earlier mentioned about the 2000 Shambhala impact, in fact, it doesn't just happen in the year 2000, that's something that's going to be ongoing and still coming into manifestation and indeed being born through all these early years of the 2000 period, the next 2000 years of the Aquarian age. And we need to, although timing is really important in getting the specific time at which something needs to be brought into manifestation, we also do need to think in terms of much bigger time frames and indeed of cycles. So that even in this small initiative that we have to prepare for this current festival week, just to put the SGI work into context with that, of being of major importance and impact in terms of the Shambhala will, if this next 7 years period that we're looking forward to is just but 1 7-year period in a whole huge cycle that lies well beyond that. So we need to really stay open in our work as well within this particular forum of being aware of the timelessness of our work and directions that we may receive or initiatives may well not come into manifestation or indeed be for the next 7-year period, but may point to a time frame well beyond that as well. And I do think it's really important we stay absolutely open to whatever comes. Because as you have said in our work in the SGI work, everybody, each individual, as well as all the groups that we do represent within the SGI, we all have our own specific and unique role and part to play. And I think it's very
Absolutely.
important that we celebrate and honor that.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that we have to realize that we begin to, when one works with the will, the sense of freedom is very important, that the energy of the quality and essence of freedom becomes more understandable. And then simplify, everything becomes so much more simple. And in another way, you realize from an ego standpoint, you don't know. But so in a knowingness is what's invoked. However, at the moment, if one is open and empty to each moment and allows that life force to move through, then it knows. And that's where we have to get ourselves out of the way and allow it to manifest and embrace our not knowing, but then becoming part of a knowingness. So it's and that is timeless.
Indeed. Now, Alexandra, are we ready to open this up to questions?
Yes, I just couldn't interrupt you. It's really interesting conversation, but yeah, it's
Oh, we
definitely
could
time
keep going. We
to
could keep going. We could keep going, but I was aware that it might be time to open it up for
Yes,
questions.
I think it's time to open up for the questions. And as usually, I just remind our attendees that you can ask questions by typing in the questions section of your control panel, of GoToWebinar control panel, or just raising your hand, the small icon on your control panel. That way you could speak and everyone could hear you. And as usually, why it takes few moments for people to realize like what they want to ask, maybe we can have another question. Or if anything else, Davina, you want to add to what you just said?
No, I think one has to. I think one of the things that we all learn in life is that each of us come in and we have our own dharma and our own work to do. And to the degree that we're able to embody the principles that we came into incarnation with, as Belinda said, each one of us is newly unique. No one is special. But if we each do our part and we each accept the challenges to move and take ourselves out of these constructs and boxes that we've placed ourselves in, and it's sort of like I always think of it like a field of flowers. You may get a whole field, say, of tulips, and exquisite in the intensity of the color and the vibrancy of the energy. Yet without each one of those tulips coming to flower and its own beauty, the overall impact will be lost. So I see us all as a each an incarnation as a just a small jewel, but put us all together, and it's quite brilliant, perhaps, what we all embody. So that I feel is just to honor and respect everybody and the part they're playing when we move through life, because sometimes I think we get it has to be seen to be great, they're doing great work here and there, and it isn't. It can just be the way that you open your heart to something so simple as just watching a sunset. The tremendous importance, we're talking energetics here, we're talking energy, and we're talking the movement of life force and energy and how it anchors itself within the world of form that we are. So I think we have to realize and respect all life as it's manifesting and working and endeavoring to raise its consciousness and not get too bogged down into specific, seeing ourselves as separate groups and sometimes it can feel a little separativeness that we all get caught up in.
I'd just
Actually,
like to say,
the
oh,
next
sorry, is
question.
it
There is a question from Fred Van Ekeren asking, "How does one choose which of the seed groups to participate in?"
I think, hello, Fred. I think basically of gain of everything, as you know, in our esoteric work, all of us here, is a question of learning to listen more adeptly. So I think when one looks at the C group list or sees that circle, there's a natural sense, if you listen within your heart, there's a natural resonance as to a specific one that somehow seems to speak to you a little more. But it's funny because if you say you were an educator, but you would find in the work of your education, you might find that all of the 12 aspects of the group come into play within the field of education. So there's a, but the education work may, like the teaching of the Antikarana, in whatever form that takes, doesn't necessarily have to be through a Bali or a form. Nevertheless, there'll be other aspects of the 12 groups that come into play in the way that is focused upon. So you really listen to your heart.
There is another question from Riza D'Angelis. Is this SGI preparing specific meetings, studies, or meditations for the festival week in December?
No, again, I think one just focuses quietly on it. It is in what I've been trying to say here, in the when one begins to work more with this presence, this inner presence, without the mind coming in to create a specific agenda, one allows that movement from within to manifest because it's calling forth a need at that moment. So within the seed groups, there's a flexibility for each individual to listen. We may have a broad outline of perhaps linking together, but the way it happens, how it happens, is up to the listening of each person. And so that's somewhat challenging for people because they like to have more of a structure. Within the seed groups, we have a very loosely held structure, but it's more a question of to that listening and the response to the moment of within, and then going into meditation and listening to how one is then guided to work in meditation. So one doesn't go in with a preconceived idea. One goes in with a sense of listening and allows that to then come through, perhaps in a way that we may not have thought of with our own concrete minds, but there's another way that perhaps we're being asked to work and to put the energy into the world of form.
May I just add to that, even though as a group we don't have anything special organised for the World Service Festival Week, there are people within the group who will be doing that individually or as parts of other groups they belong to. And whatever we're doing outside Secret International will still be feeding into and contributing to the pool of thought and the group life of Seed Groups International, just as the group life of Seed Groups International will be contributing to and pouring into all the groups that the various individuals who belong to it work with too. So there's this beautiful flowing inwards and outwards of the different groups and individuals.
I think that's right, and also you see, we're as I said before, we're embracing people of different lineages who may not be see it in the same way as, you know, perhaps those of us that have been in the Bali teachings for some time would recognize a new group of world service, and but they may be working in a way that's slightly different, so it has a different interpretation and meaning for them, and a different resonance for them. So. So this is the challenge of a group like this, because you have many, many individual, interpretations of thought that come in because of a specific line that person has been used to working with. And there may be those within the group, perhaps the some of the Buddhist teachers, and we have one of the members of the group is an abbot of a Buddhist monastery, and they may see it and do it slightly differently. So one always has to hold this open field of energy where there's no, you're not telling people what they should do or how they should do it. They're used to their own listening of what they need to do.
And I think everybody would be aware of the impact in one way or another of the festival week because of the huge
Absolutely.
planetary alignment. And, you know, people in my workplace even talk about it, but not, of course, in the same language that you and I have used.
Absolutely.
I want to remind about the opportunity to ask questions through your voice by just raising the question. For technical reasons, everyone in the audience now muted, but we can unmute anyone on your request. And meanwhile, there is another question. The question from Tracy Arbor. Is it Group International something that requires a formal joining? Or can you just go to its website to view and participate in creative ideas?
No, you. There is more of a. We're not a public website, Tracy. You, if you do find us on the net, and you decide you'd like to join, we do ask. You know, we do require certain. We have certain questions. We want to make sure that you are. You know, you would enjoy being a part of this work. That it's what you would. What your soul is calling you to do. But we're really not a public group in the respect that. You do have to join to go and get further access to the website and what we put out through sharing. So if you do consider you'd like to be a part of it, go to the website and ask to join. And there's a questionnaire and you know, so as we make sure that it's something you're comfortable with and so there's a symbiosis that goes on between you and us. So but it isn't very, it's very, it's not a public forum in the way that we think of a public forum. It's just, so it's very quiet behind the scenes type of work. It really is a very, let's say, subjective work. So, but if you are interested, we'd love to hear from you.
There is a question from Priscilla, Carol, or maybe rather a comment. I will just read to voice it. It is very important to keep focused in the presence. I am, in order to be able to do our work among so many strong energy that we are living with and constantly show by the media.
It is, you know, just being. I think when we talk about that presence or that that energy, which is a backdrop to everything we do, everything we are, that one is aware of that all the time, whatever one may be doing, whether it's out in the world in action, whether it's in the world subjectively, it's the backdrop to everything we are and everything we do, and with it comes the energy of the heart. And also the that life force, as I say, that is able to then come through the vehicle. So it's very it's a wonderful way of being of the heart opening and embracing life and co-creating with life. That's very much a part of what we talk about in SGI, is the co-creating with life.
I have my own question, Davina, to you and Belinda. About the one of the groups, like sealed groups, telepathic communicators. How do you see the work of this group unfolds, and in has what is its impact on our world? Because I see it's one of the key groups today for exactly what you said, like how people from different traditions, from different backgrounds can communicate and work together. And you talked about the work of Seed Group International, but it goes beyond that. It goes to every aspect of humanity's work, how people with different backgrounds, cultural, religious, any kind of backgrounds can work together. It's by transcending the boundaries of the forms of their symbols, and coming into the communication and telepathic kind of
It's
alignment
communicating
and hearing
telepathically.
each other.
Yes,
So I just would
yes.
like to hear what you think about this unfoldment
Well,
of this
Belinda,
group.
I've talked a lot. Belinda, would you? I mean, I'd love to comment, but Belinda, do you have some thoughts there first of all?
Well, I thought I could talk about the group for telepathic impression that's been in existence longer than SGI. There is actually the work of telepathic impression. There's actually a separate group as well called GTI, Group for Telepathic Impression, and that was formed much earlier on, and that is run as a separate group to this, and that again has quite a comprehensive membership, and we work with planetary healing. We focus on different regions of the planet and on a monthly cycle, as well as working with all the zodiacal forces that are available at the various times. In that group as well, we work on our annual cycle with the goals for humanity. We work with the laws and principles. We work with the rays, the different centers. And so that is a much deeper, more comprehensive way of working. Now, when this group was first formed, there really was absolutely no, or virtually no, outer communication at all. These groups were set up. This group was set up really by people who, for people who had long periods of training in various study schools, and when they had completed that time, they were then joined in with this work so that it could be ongoing. And what else can I say about that? Again, we link up with all the different seed groups that are here as well. And currently, being in Sagittarius, the one that we're specifically working with in this time frame between 21st of November to December the 20th, we are actually working with the David Kingdom, and we're preparing humanity for the awareness of and conscious cooperation with the David Kingdom, and at the same time linking with the United Nations and all the humanitarian agencies that the United Nations sponsors. So we are actually embracing all the inner and the outer fields of work on and within this group as well. Is there anything more you think you'd like to? That doesn't really explain all the history of the group, but
Well, I
that
think,
how long
yeah,
has it been going for?
it's
Well
about,
beyond.
it's been about 30 years, I would think. I've been in it for about 30 years. And so, yes, it's a question with anything of how does one become more telepathic, which is, if we're using Bailey terminology, it's working more within the essence, with the aspect of the spiritual triad. Although, so basically, one is working from the causal vehicle going into the spiritual triad. That is the idea of it. But again, that can become a limitation because with all of these teachings, they have to, and this is a challenge for us, I think, that one feels that one must emphasize going forward. It has to go from the realm of the mind and become experiential. It cannot just stay within that, within the ego personality. And so, when to really be in touch telepathically, and when we're talking telepathic, it's just not with ourselves because there's various, as you know, there's various aspects of telepathy. There's soul to soul. There's the other aspects of telepathy within the personality, but also part of the work which many of us do is linking with these great telepathic communications through these through the the cosmological aspect of who we are. Because when one transcends the point of time, we're moving beyond that dualistic nature. So there's nothing that we're not connected to. It's only our idea of separation that limits us. So there's this tremendous potential within the realm of telepathy, But it means that we have to, you know, allow those gaps between thinking, between thought, to be able to pull in this essence of energy that is the very core of who we are. So that's the challenge telepathically. And of course, I as I say, I mentioned I'm the Wilma Flintstone in the group, but I was reading an article recently where they were saying that in Silicon Valley, they're horrified that they've created a monster because people are becoming so addicted to the technology that it's actually rewiring people's brains. And this is, and they're actually asking people in Silicon Valley now in the work there to start to meditate and to break away from the habitual patterns that people are finding when they're texting all the time or having to be on their computers or whatever. It is another form of addiction. And so this is something, as esotericists, we need to be aware of, because then it makes a meditative life even more important. Because if you see the planet as a, as you know, as a brain, then at this moment in time, it would appear that the left brain is really having a wonderful, you know, wonderful holiday out there. And so the poor right brain is being somewhat neglected. So this is really important for us to understand, and how the only way we can become telepathic is to even to watch our addiction to the technology. And it's something which we have to, you know, realize as we enter this new age where all this is available to us so readily, but it has to be in balance. And that, and therefore, otherwise, telepathic communication will be even more difficult.
I think that's an enormously important point to make, because although this technology has enabled us to link up in this way and meditate in this way, it is very different to meditating just silently on your own physically and linking up telepathically and not via a machine. But also it isn't a substitute either for sitting down together physically with people in a group and meditating as well. I think it has had huge openings and made us aware of so much, but it is interesting. It's still called virtual reality, isn't it? It's not reality.
No, and I think we have a tremendous challenge ahead of us all, is to be able to step outside of our comfort zone as far as watching the resistance of the mind to let go the habitual thinking and the habitual stimulation of the mind. Because only when we are able to, because if we can observe the mind, if we can observe the emotions, we're not that. So who is the observer, or who is the witness at that point? And that's where you begin to then enter into the realms of more telepathic interaction. Because one realizes the illusion of that so-called threefold personality, and then out of that you're stepping beyond the limitations of our three-dimensional world of time and space. You're moving more into a fifth-dimensional experiential way of relating to each other, which is so much greater than perhaps we've been used to. But it takes courage, it takes tremendous courage to step outside these comfort zones of what we've made us feel secure as far as our ego goes, and being able to enter a whole different dimension of expressing and relating to the world.
Thank you for your answer. It's definitely a seed for thought. I will allow myself a short comment. I think the current technology is as any tool, it's how you call it, like two side, like razor blade, right? So it's two sided sword.
Yes.
So it definitely has what you say about this creating addictive mode, of creating a buzz which keeps us away from the silence inside. And at the same time, it works as a prototype in a way for telepathical communication.
Absolutely.
Internet created this mode of connectedness that anyone can relate now on the
Yes.
planet. Even it creates this a lot of buzz, but still it's kind of a step forward, that connectedness and united
I
state
think
of
the secret,
consciousness.
yeah. Sorry, so I was thinking as you were talking, the secret is to be aware of to watch the play of the addictiveness. So therefore, at that point, if you can watch it, you're not it. You can watch yourself and the mind coming in and the reactions of the, because most addictions are there because of sensory satisfaction. So if one is able to be in it but not of it, you can still use it, but unfortunately, so many people are, don't have the ability to meditate or want to meditate. So consequently, the skill is to be able to be there to watch it, and at the same time to be able to step back from it. So it's just see it as the tool, which most of us, I'd imagine, in this forum are able to at least bring into play a little easier than perhaps some young people that are just texting continually.
There is a question from one of those young people.
Wonderful.
Uffe, I muted you. Hello.
Thank you very much. Hi, Davina. Hi, Belinda.
Hello.
I'm calling from a deep frozen Norway. It's very dark here. I'm very happy to be able to connect to you through this internet. Some people think that the internet is a precursor of true telepathic communication in humanity,
I
but
would agree.
I don't know. We'll see.
Yes, that's right.
I really appreciate you voicing the limitations of the different teachings. I think that's a very important point. And my eyes keep getting captured by the word synthesis, which is in this beautiful picture. And I think that this group really embodies that synthesis. So my question is, the time we are in gives a lot of opportunities, but it is also energetically extremely challenging for people. How will you advise people to handle and to cope with this sort of heightened frequency?
I think again, we're literally being forced to. Hello, lovely. Actually, I hate to say it, but it's quite nice here in California, even though we've got the sunshine, even though it's little dark fumes in that rotten of me to do that. I used to come from England, so I know what it's like. But anyway, I think to be honest with you, to go back to your question. How do people cope with the challenges of it all? You know what? Sometimes the only way that we are really able to, we get forced to listen is when circumstances do become challenging. Whoops, I should have taken that off a moment ago. Just let me do this. Sorry, that was my phone. I'm in my office. That was my phone. So I think very often, the only way we are really forced into a situation, we have to go to another level of listening. We can't reconstitute. My teacher used to tell me that sort of a lot of diet of mental words and everything else is just roughage for our personalities. So literally, the challenge for all of us is to be able to go to this new sense of listening. And to be able to begin to say there is something greater out there that we are connected to. Sometimes we have to go through some pain before we're willing to let go. And a lot of the things that we have to let go of are attachments to the way that things have been and the way things are. And once we can let go of the attachment, it allows for new creativity to come in because we're not attached to it being a certain way, how it has to be. So consequently, any challenge, I mean, again, I used to say, my very dearest friend used to say, every experience is here to show us our attachment. And it can be an attachment that's subtle, it can be an attachment that's very obvious. But the minute we are able to break free of the attachment, a whole new level of creativity can come in that we can then begin to express and play with. And when that attachment is observed. You can't make the effort to let go of the attachment. You merely observe the attachment because the very seeing of it has changed the nature of it. So consequently, as we begin to let go of these attachments or watch the attachments and the freedom comes in, we start to move into a different frequency of energy that has an effortlessness to it. It's as if life is living us in a very different way. We're not controlling it. We're not trying to, through insecurity, to hang on to it. We're totally trusting and allowing this life to move through us in a way that it's never done before. I mean, they say very glibly go with the flow, but it's another dimension of creating that the life force then literally moves us and molds us and takes us to a way that we live in the world in a different way. But sometimes it, you know, we cling like mad. We don't often let go. So the pain comes in not letting go. The pain comes in clinging to the attachments and not releasing or observing even observing the resistance to release. Because again, if you observe the resistance, you've actually let go of it. You don't. If you try to make the effort not to resist, you're back in the duality again.
I would probably put it a little bit differently again. I would say for people who are concerned about what is happening and how do they help, I think we do need to have courage to step forward into the future. And the other word starting with C, we need to be mindful of, we have to do it with caution. I think we need to remember too that on the vertical alignment, we have right at the head centre all the fiery energy of Vulcan coming in, which is tempering and moulding us and making us fit to serve and preparing us for the way forward. So there's this tremendous sense of the will impact being very fiery and strong and powerful. But at the other end of the spectrum, we are also very vulnerable as human beings. There is that quality of fire that is soft, gentle, warm, embracing. And it's our challenge when we're working with the will aspect, as we are now going into the Aquarian age, we have to work with it through the heart, because we, through the heart, then we're working with love and with wisdom, and we know how to balance that volcanic energy that's coming from the head center, also with that fragility and vulnerability of being simply human and needing to tread that middle way between, literally between the two great lines of force.
Yes, that's beautifully put, Belinda. Thank you.
We actually now are quite beyond the time that when we had to start our meditation segment of our webinar. But there are still a few questions, and I really apologize. We can't bring them all up. But there's just one question from Suna Senman about if the recording of this webinar will be available. Yes, this webinar would be available to listen later on, and it will be available on the 2012 Initiative Facebook page, which you see on your screen now. And anyone who subscribed to the Google Group 2012 Initiative, which you also can see on your screen now, regularly get all the recordings of all the webinars and all the announcements about the webinars. So, but
I just want to say thank you all for being here, and it's been a joy to link with you this way. So, love and blessings, and thank you to everybody that's been a part of it.
Yes, and Belinda, please lead us into meditation.
We're now going to go into meditation, and there will be a period of silence in the middle of that. Now, should I actually shorten the meditation to keep us within the time frame, Alexander? Or shall I just...
No, I would say it's okay. Yes, please go with how you feel the energy
flows. With whatever comes, right?
Yes.
We link with each other, our co-workers here today, standing together within the light. Wherever we may be spread across the globe, we are working together as one group and as one soul. We extend this identification to all who are part of the World Service Group everywhere. We stand at the center of our being. We become aware of standing alongside us all the planetary service, and through the planetary heart center, co-creating with us the spiritual hierarchy of the planet, the adepts of the race, the arhats, the Buddhas of activity, with whom we seek to work and who seek our aid to cooperate and work alongside with them in the adventure. We are aware of our teachers, our guides, all those who direct us. As one group, we affirm our role. I am a point of light within a greater light. I am a strand of loving energy within this stream of love divine. I am a point of sacrificial fire, focused within the fiery will of God, and thus I stand. I am a way by which people may achieve. I am a source of strength enabling them to stand. I am a beam of light shining upon their way, and thus I stand. And standing thus revolve and turn this way the ways of humanity, and know the ways of God, and thus I stand. Be aware as we go deeply into the heart center, we reach up into the center of Shambhala where the will of God is known. We are aware of all the extra planetary energies available to us at this time. We know the silent, peaceful world. Stand poised, expectant, reaching out for whatever may come towards us out of the future in whatever way. We hold the keynote for Sagittarius. I see the goal. I reach that goal. And then I see another. We will sustain silence and our place deep within, reach into the heights. We'll silently for 10 minutes. Out of the pool of good light, we see a flower emerging, of white and gold. Be aware of standing at the head center, Shambhala. Ma becomes rose and yellow, purple and blue as we make with the arch center. Become silvery blue. We become aware of the soul center. We link through the heart, the flower is golden glowing. We link with the solar plexus, the flower is rose, green. Aware of the sacral center and the flower is orange. We are aware of the base and the red flaming flower and the orange. We are aware of standing, the center of all being, aligned. Out of the flower emerges our planet. And we, the axis point of our globe, our planetary home. Aware of the energy flowing through our shaft of light. From Shambhala through the hierarchy of humanity across all the planes and great centers of being. We are aware of the extraplanetary energies flowing through us and into our planet. From the planets beyond, Vulcan through the head center, Venus through the arch center, Saturn the throat, Jupiter the heart, Neptune. Solar plexus, Uranus, the sacral center, Pluto, the base. We are part of one great chain of beings, one source of life. Be aware of us standing together with the world to initiate, the world to unify, the world to evolve, the world to harmonize, the world to act, world to cause, and the world to explain. Be aware of the silent, peaceful world. Visualize these pouring down through the hierarchy and the planetary heart center. Into the world group of service. In the center of all love we stand. From that center we the soul will outward move. From that center we the ones who serve will work. May the love of the divine self be shed abroad in our hearts, through our groups, and throughout the world. Visualize the energies pouring into the human family and through all the kingdoms of nature. Visualize the energies being anchored in the hearts and minds of humanity, and pouring in through the five planetary inlets of London, New York, Geneva, Darjeeling, Tokyo, radiating the whole consciousness of humanity. We will now sound the great invocation. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human worlds, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, may the plan and love of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Oh. So may we each play our part.
Thank you, Belinda. Thank you, everyone, for participating in today's webinar. The next 2012 Initiative webinar will be December 13, and we will welcome Dr. Dorothy Maver, who is an educator and peace builder. She's a co-founder of the Seven Ray Institute and University of the Seven Rays, and the president of the National Peace Academy in the United States. And we will talk about the practical aspects of service and who is the world's server today. Also, I want to say a few words about our plans for our work during the festival week. The Focalizing Group are planning a series of webinars, two webinars a day, where we will have opportunity to meditate on the most crucial topics for the human evolutions in the next 7-year cycle. Meditating the vision for the humanity for the next 7 years. There will be schedule of all the webinars with the topics and moderators. All that information will be available on our Facebook page, which you see on our screen, and on the Google group. You also are welcome to send us your inquiries to our email address. Thank you again. Happy full moon.